Happy Thursday, people. Welcome to the show on May 7th. Adam Azer, Chris Towers, and Scott White. Filling in for Al Melchior, who's out of town for the next 2 days. Scott, it's so good to have you again.
I know, 2 days in a row. It's been a while.
We are blessed.
Yeah, we're keeping the Scott-Chris momentum going here. But we're still going to get nerdy, and we're going to talk about BABIP, Grade the Trade, Carlos Correa news, a lot of important, or maybe seemingly important, but not really important, home runs were hit yesterday. Danny Duffy was terrible. Chris Sale got roughed up again. We got it all. Let's start with the nerd email of the day at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, and it is from Mark in Chicago. What's the deal with Josh Harrison? I saw his BABIP, or BABIP, is 211, and I figured it was just luck. But his BABIP last year was a ridiculous 353. He's also striking out at a slightly higher rate this year versus last year, and his walk-to-strikeout ratio is down as well. He's also hitting to the opposite field more this year. I'm kind of new to sabermetrics, so I'm not sure what all the implications of these things might be. What is the deal with Josh Harrison?
I mean, he certainly played over his head last season. There's no question about that. He kind of came out of nowhere. But the one thing that I do want to point out is, Mark in Chicago, your assumption would be correct. Hitting to the opposite field generally does lead to less power. You're especially more so hitting to center field, obviously, because the fence is further away, but most players hit for most of their power to the pool side, which I think is a pretty obvious statement. So the fact that he is going the other way, you would expect that to lead to a lower isolated slugging. The thing is, you would also expect that to lead to more hits, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're generally hitting the ball the other way. You're slapping the ball into the opposite field. You're hitting line drives. You would expect that.
Yeah.
To lead to more batted ball luck. So I think he's probably a guy who's going to have good batted ball success. He hits a decent number of ground balls. The problem is he actually is kind of a fly ball hitter in his career, which is weird for a guy that doesn't have a ton of power.
Well, that's partially how I justified the high BABIP for him last year, was because he is an all hit to all fields kind of guy.
Yeah.
Which makes it easier to have a high BABIP. I think the big takeaway from all this for me, and you know, I don't know that you necessarily even need these advanced numbers to come to this conclusion, is he's not as good as he was last year, but he's not as bad as he's been so far this year either. The one thing I worry about is because Jung Ho Kang has been hitting well in the opportunities he's gotten recently. Does that cut into Harrison's playing time more and more before he gets a chance to turn things around? That would be my biggest concern as a Harrison owner.
The fact that he can play so many different positions has me less concerned about that. I would be more inclined to believe that Mercer is going to lose playing time to Kang, if anybody does.
I also think that it's good that, like, every Pirate is struggling. You know, if it was just Harrison, then maybe they could make a move, but you can't really single anyone out. I don't know if every Pirate is struggling, but pretty much every Pirate is struggling right now. They are bad. Who isn't struggling?
I wrote on the Fantasy Baseball Today blog yesterday about the worst leadoff hitter situations in baseball. They have a 269 on base percentage from the leadoff spot this season.
That's no good.
So I think they need to stick with Gregory Polanco. He's a guy that I think can get on base.
Hey, on the topic of the Pirates, let's go to the big news. Andrew McCutchen, he insists he is not hurt. He says his struggles are mechanical. He's got some mechanics issues. I'm not really sure I believe you. Yeah, right, caused by a knee injury. But
That would make sense.
They are downplaying the injury. There's not really much more we can say that we haven't said yesterday. George Springer's on the 7-day concussion DL. Carlos Correa, our John Heyman reporting that Correa could get called up in the next 2 weeks, according to that John Heyman piece. And Correa, an elite shortstop prospect. Why would you guys like him better or worse than Addison Russell?
I would like him better. Yeah. I think he's more accomplished. He was more accomplished in the minors, and I think the upside is similar for both, but I would give Correa a bit of an edge because of
plate
discipline and
everything he's done since his first season wasn't great, and that's to be expected. He was a really young.
Yeah, even now he's only 20.
Well, yeah, he was a 17-year-old when he was drafted. He made his major league debut, his professional debut at a very young age, but ever since then, he's not only hit the ball extremely well, 320 each season, he's gotten better each season. He's going to be really good.
I've I think it's I don't know what caused Heyman to, not that I'm questioning John Heyman, he's more plugged in.
Are you questioning John Heyman, Scott White?
Scott,
but
get out.
I feel like Jeff Luneau was just the master. Jeff Luneau or Jeff Luneau?
One of those.
The Astros GM was just saying the other day they're hoping to get him up to AAA in a couple weeks. So I don't know where that leap to the majors comes in, but
general managers say things.
That's true.
Carlos Correa wouldn't be the first player to ever skip AAA. I think that happens more often than not at this point with these big time prospects. I would definitely expect him up before June. I just, with the fact that they're in the playoff hunt,
yeah,
they can't run the kind of
Marwin Gonzalez,
the replacement level or worse players that they've got out there at shortstop. I think we'll see Carlos Correa before long.
And in the Mets catcher situation, it's getting interesting. Kevin Plawecki's been playing well, and Terry Collins said he might have to find a way to get both Plawecki and Darnell at bats. And he said that Plawecki has some first base experience, and Darnell said he can play outfield. We have some time before we have to worry about that, but it's kind of an interesting situation there. And if Plawecki's out there, you might want to own him. Last night, not a very good night for me in FanDuel, but tonight is a new night, and I am going to be on there again. We're going to give you some DFS advice a little bit later with Heath Cummings, but want to remind you that FanDuel does host one-day fantasy contest. No season-long commitment or anything, just one day. And for every dollar you deposit, they're going to match it with up to $200. That's going to get earned as you play. All you have to do is use our offer code CBS. So go on there and have fun. I'm having fun every night. Even when I lose, it's fun. But not as fun as when I win. Tonight, it's going to be one of those nights. All right, here's our tweet of the day from Howard West. You should do a segment on OBP leagues, lesser-known OBP guys, and talk about studs that are more valuable in that format. Well, let's talk about OBP guys.
This is my chance to interject with my my nerdy stat of the day.
All right.
Jock Peterson is an on-base percentage stud. He walked a ton in the minors. He's walking even more in the majors. He's still walking since he moved up to the leadoff spot, so it wasn't just pitchers pitching around him when he was in the eighth spot. Since moving into the leadoff spot, he's hitting .222 with a .344 on base percentage and an .889 slugging percentage. That is with a zero BABIP in seven games. He has six home runs and no other hits. He is awesome. He is maybe my favorite baseball player to watch right now. I love Jock Peterson.
Well, I've been wondering, because when you look at guys like Mark Teixeira, who are hitting around .210 but walking a lot, it's kind of annoying if you own them in a league where that only counts batting average, doesn't count base percentage.
It is.
But then again, hitting is a skill. You know, hitting is more valuable than walking. So what kind of leagues do you guys like if we're talking categories or roto?
Well, we don't need to separate hitting from walking. It's all about not making an out. That is the most important thing you can do. So I like an on-base percentage league. I rarely play in them just because it's easier to get guys to play in average leagues. But I think they're a better representation of skill.
Yeah, I think they are too. It kind of flies in the face of tradition. And I feel like roto baseball is already such a flawed game, because it's singling out these specific skills and weighing them all on an equal level, which is ridiculous. But I just kind of prefer to go the traditional route anyway. But I mean, you know, if I'm a big league GM, I'm valuing a player's on base percentage over his batting average.
Now our next category is called Chris Hates D. Gordon.
This is slanderous. I do not hate D. Gordon.
I read your sell high story on D. Gordon. And okay, you made a good point. If you could sell D. Gordon for an elite player who's struggling, you'd do it. But I just feel like you didn't like the trade for D. Gordon that the Marlins made, and you just don't. You just hate D. Gordon, Chris. I don't know how else to say it. Why do you hate him?
Percentage, Adam. Look what we were just talking about.
I mean, the guy walked four times after the All-Star break last season, so it wasn't like my concern was unfounded. But he's incredible right now. He's doing everything that you want a guy with his skill set to do. He's cut his strikeout rate from his career rate. He's not walking much, but he's putting the ball in play everywhere across the field. You know, 90% contact rate. The base running's actually been kind of not great, which is weird, but
it's getting better though.
He's been really good.
Right. It's not like they're going to stop him from stealing bases. That's his whole That's his whole value.
I think he just happened to randomly get caught stealing a bunch of times in a 2-week span. I think that's not indicative of anything necessarily.
So what do you guys think about D. Gordon, who's batting 430 right now and just had the second best homestand in baseball history in terms of batting average? Let me ask you this. So in a roto league, I don't remember where he was going, maybe somewhere between fifth and eighth rounds, whatever. We like the value very much. Where would you take him now?
You know, that was actually a question Chris seemed like he was polling everybody in the general vicinity the other day. My opinion of D. Gordon hasn't changed that much since coming into the season, and you're talking in Roto League specifically?
Yeah.
I think I was looking at round 6 for him then. Maybe I'd go round 5 now. I did move him ahead of Kinsler in my second base rankings, so I have nudged him up a little. But I was buying into what he did last year, particularly after he was traded to the Marlins. I wasn't sure how the new regime and for the Dodgers was going to use him. But with the Marlins, I knew he'd continue to play every day, and obviously he's not going to be a 430 hitter. I'm skeptical he'll hit 300, but he'll hit pretty close and with a league-leading or very close to it steals total.
I think he could hit 300.
Yeah,
based on what he's doing this season.
I mean, come on. Like, with this kind of start 5 weeks in, I feel like he'll hit 300. Like, I understand that
he'll finish the season 500. I'm talking from this point on.
Oh, okay.
From this point on, I think he can hit 300. It's going to take, because he's a guy who never puts the ball over the fence, so it needs to be all BABIP. But he can probably be a 350 BABIP guy in his best years. You know, yeah. It's not out of the question that he's just a 300 talent hitter from this point on.
Well, guys, today is Grade the Trade Day. So I don't usually do this. I don't like talking too much about my leagues. I know people hate it, but this is just so crazy to me. This trade, look at the trade that I put in the notes. This trade went down in my league yesterday that I am a commissioner in, and it's a 10-team league. It's not like this. If this were a 20-team league, this would be a bad trade. But in a 10-team league, it's 10 times worse. So one guy traded Matt Carpenter. And this is an owner. This guy makes me the worst trade offers all the time. But these trade offers are like completely slanted to him. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He traded Matt Carpenter for Xander Bogaerts and Alex Guerrero in a 10-team league.
He really likes the young guys, man.
Well, he really likes the Red Sox. But it's like, as the commissioner, I'm not going to veto it. I emailed them, and I was like, what the hell is the deal here? And he explained it and just gave like a really bad explanation, but not everybody hosts a fantasy baseball podcast, so I can't, you know, be like, you're dumb.
Don't veto, though. You can't veto unless it's – that's my strong take on vetoing is never do it unless it's like egregious to the point where like it seems like one guy's handing the other guy a brown sack of money.
I don't think that's – what did you call it?
What?
Strong take or whatever.
Strong take?
I guess it is a strong take, but it's one I totally agree with. I mean, except in obvious cases of collusion, I think owners should be allowed to make their own mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta trust the guys in your league to screw up.
You're not, as the commissioner, your job isn't to hold their hand and make sure they play according to your level of knowledge.
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree, but there are two types of vetoes. There's the commissioner can just veto the trade because he's the commissioner, or she's the commissioner. Sorry, ladies. Yes. And then there's the, in our league, if you get 4 vetoes, so 8 other owners are going to be voting on the trade. If you get 4 vetoes, then the trade gets vetoed.
I hate that.
No, because people are always going to vote in their best interest.
No, that's not true.
If you're the first place team, that's the second place team pulls off a lopsided trade.
It's not true. It doesn't happen. Do you guys play in those leagues? Does it ever happen?
It's always happened.
It hasn't happened in my leagues.
Well, then you are playing with a set of 10 altruistic fellas.
Well, no. I mean, even if I vetoed it. I vetoed it as part of the 4 out of 8 veto, not as part of the commissioner. This is getting vetoed.
Well, then you're part of the problem.
No, I'm not part of the problem. This trade is horrible, and enough people
should be allowed to make mistakes. Whether your vote counts as 1/4 or 100%.
Yeah, a bad trade is a bad trade. People make bad trades. You have to. Adam, you got to let the baby birds fly from
this
the nest.
This is a terrible trade, and I think it's so bad that it's vetoable.
You can't hold them under your wing forever.
You'd say this guy's always trying to rip you off. He clearly knows what he's doing.
Then why did he do this?
Let him play according to his own preferences.
I think that if Xander Bogaerts were not on the Red Sox, there's no way this guy makes the trade. I think that's exactly why he made the trade.
Look, if Austin Rivers wasn't Doc Rivers' son, there's no way he trades for him. It doesn't mean, you know... Oh, God, I can't remember his name. Adam Silver should step in and stop it. You make bad trades.
Yeah.
This
isn't broken because this guy gets Matt Carpenter. Is his team better? Yeah, he made a good trade. But, you know, it's not like he automatically wins and everybody loses and everything's turned upside down.
And that's why
we should celebrate his competence.
That's why I didn't Commissioner Best Interest of Baseball veto it, but I did, you know, cast a vote against it.
It's the same thing.
It's not the same. It's the same thing. It's don't like veto. 1/8 of the power of the other thing.
Yeah, but
everybody who's
listening,
why is
your decision different just because you have less power?
Because that's what makes it different. If I had all that power and I were acting unilaterally, I wouldn't do it, but I'm just voicing my opinion, and if enough people in the league feel that it's so horrible, then
everyone
I think that's valid.
Everyone who's listening, fam, listen to Scott and I, not Adam. Don't veto.
All right, nerds. Wednesday standouts. I want to talk about all the people who hit home runs. We'll get to that later. We're talking 2 for Peterson, 3 for Bryce Harper. Russell Martin homered again. Evan Longoria hit 2. Victor Martinez hit his first home run. And Andrelton Simmons having a great year, etc. But how about Chris Sale? I'll start with Chris Sale, and then you guys can tell me who stood out to you other than that. Any concerns at all about Chris Sale? It's 2 bad ones in a row.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't come up with any reason to be concerned here.
Then who stood out to you guys in Tuesday's games, or Wednesday's games, or both?
Well, I was at a concert last night. I didn't get to watch.
What
but
concert,
I will point
Chris?
Out, what?
What concert?
The Immortal Neutral Milk Hotel. That is a real band name.
Oh,
I am not making that up.
What a nerd concert that is.
it's pretty bad. I mean, great band, but very, very nerdy. But I will say that I liked Jacob deGrom throwing it in my face that I wrote about his possible sophomore slump yesterday.
I did
in the piece say that it's entirely possible he goes out and strikes 12 against the Orioles, so I'm disappointed that he only struck out 9 yesterday, but his strikeout rate and whiff rate are all down, and his fastball doesn't seem to be quite as effective as it was last year. He's still throwing it hard, but he's leaving it up in the zone more than he was last season, so that was my concern. That's a good sign for him, because he was never a high strikeout guy in the minors. He was always between 7 and 8 for the most part, with elite control and solid home run prevention, so... It's good to see him going out there and mowing guys down.
Yes, it is. And I think a takeaway from that is that whether you're using advanced metrics or not, early season data is early season data, you know?
And that's always, you know, I'm writing a lot at the Fantasy Baseball Today blog about this kind of stuff, and it gets exhausting to say that it's early season data because there's so much noise and, you know, one home run for a pitcher allowed can raise his home run per 9 by, you know, 0.4, whereas one home run in September makes no difference on his season-long data. So
yeah,
taking too much out of 5 starts it's risky, but the caveat is understood. It's an early season stuff. We're just looking at trends without making definitive statements.
It was a good bounce back for DeGrom. I guess they were talking about him using more of his arsenal and, He threw a lot more four-seam fastballs in his previous start than he did in this one. Scott, any standouts for you?
Any standouts? There are a lot of standouts. I mean, Bryce Harper's the obvious one. I'm sure we'll get to him later.
We will, yeah.
But I want to mention Victor Martinez here because he hit his first home run of the season off Chris Sale. Wow.
There you go.
But you know the thing about Chris Sale?
Left-handed.
Left-handed. And... Victor Martinez is batting .409 against lefties this year, .148 against righties. That is extreme.
With no extra base hits in 61 at bats against righties.
Yeah.
He's only got 2 extra base hits total, so it's not like,
Yeah, I know, but 22 at bat, 9 hits and 22 at bats against lefties, 9 hits and 61 at bats against righties.
Yeah, so, That's the side of the... Remember, there was some talk earlier about how he might start sitting against right-handers because that's the side of the plate where his knee bothers him the most. And that split couldn't make it any more obvious. I mean, as much as 37 games worth of... Or it's not even that many, sorry.
26.
26 games worth of numbers can tell us. It's telling us that it's really hard to trust Victor Martinez in your lineup.
He's a guy I wouldn't mind getting 5 days off.
Yeah. Which we kind of talked about yesterday, I know, but he's just a straight-up sit for me, I guess, until we start seeing him do some damage against right-handed pitchers, because that's the majority of pitchers.
They throw
right-handed.
Anyone else?
Let's go on to your notes here. I don't want to hold things up looking for another guy.
I just want to bring up Jose Perella. You know, we kind of downplayed him yesterday. He started. He got two hits. One of them was a double. He's got some speed. Started for the Yankees at second base with Steven Drew playing shortstop against a lefty. I think there's a good chance he plays second base against righties, and Drew could sit. But
I think there's a good chance that he just anybody with a pulse can get playing time in the Yankees middle infield.
Yeah, exactly. But why? Why? I'm not saying he needs to be like 50% owned, but in like a 14 team league, I think I'd be looking at Perella right now. I want to see what the playing time's going to be. But why, Scott, you seem like you have no interest in him.
Because I don't think the playing time's going to be extensive enough. If I'm wrong, yeah, he is. I think there's enough of a skill set there that he could be deeper mixed league relevant. But right now, and even you just said, I think he's going to play some against left-handers, right? Is that what you said?
I can't imagine he won't play against lefties. They'll sit Gregorius, and they'll play Drew at short. Drew hits well against lefties, and I think Perella will play. Now the question, they got a righty tonight. They got Chris Tillman tonight, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the one thing that I don't love looking at his minor league numbers is he stopped stealing quite so many bases when he got to the higher levels. He stole 52 bags in about 475 games between AA and AAA. That comes out to like 18 per 162, which isn't a great number.
All right, let's just talk about Bryce Harper, and then we'll get to the rest of the home run hitters later. He had 3 home runs yesterday. He hit the crud out of the ball. Man, he was launching them. And right now, there's kind of an interesting thing going on with him. He's the number 5 outfielder in points leagues right now, number 12 in Roto. He's walking so much. What's your overall thought on Bryce Harper?
That's, his projected numbers for his projected season totals based on what he's accomplished so far are kind of ridiculous. 45 home runs, 145 walks. And 201 strikeouts.
So he's Bryce Dunn.
I mean, I'm hoping he's better than that because, you know, Adam Dunn was not that high end of a fantasy player for most of his career. I'm more, you know, the strikeouts we could obsess about those.
And strikeouts are up around the league over the last 5 years anyway, so it's not that big of a concern.
I guess what I'm getting to is I feel like I'm feeling more confident than ever that this is the year Harper takes off and becomes the player we're all hoping he'd be all along. And you know, it was kind of a funny thing I saw going around when, I think it was Addison Russell when he got called up.
Mm-hmm.
He became the youngest player in the National League.
Yeah, he finally...
Beating out Bryce Harper.
The first player since Bryce Harper came into the league to be younger than him in the National League.
Oh, okay.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah, I guess I misinterpreted. I was thinking Bryce Harper was currently the youngest player.
Yeah,
he's been the
youngest player since he made his
debut. Oh, okay. All right, so I didn't
misinterpret. I'm pretty sure that's what the stat was.
Like, it feels like Harper's been disappointing us forever, but he's still the second youngest player in the National League.
Yeah, there was a player hit... I can't remember his name. Someone hit 3 home runs in a AA game last night. And that guy is older than Bryce Harper.
Harper's 22.
22 in like 6 months. He's not even like about to turn 23. He's a baby. Yeah. He's a guy that every year, no matter how much he's disappointed relative to the ridiculous expectations that we've placed upon his shoulders, I want to draft him every year because it was going to click. People seem to not like Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg, and I get it because they've had a lot of attention. Hype and attention put on them without them really accomplishing too much. Bryce Harper's going to be, he's going to win multiple MVP awards. He's going to be one of the best hitters in baseball. And if it's not this season, it's going to be next season. If it's not next season, it's going to be the season after. I believe that.
Yeah.
And it looks like it could be this season.
His biggest issue is health, though.
Yeah.
The way he plays, he's kind of like Ellsbury, you know?
Stop trying so hard, Bryce.
Okay, so yesterday I asked you if you'd trade McCutcheon for Harper. I think you guys said no. But that was before he had three home runs.
That was before he
I don't want to overreact, but maybe...
I think I might do it in a points league.
It was as impressive as a three-homer game can get.
And I believe he was like 2 of 15 against Tom Kohler in his career before that, or something like that. He had not had a lot of success against the Marlins starter. I don't know. I'm not going to say I would trade McCutcheon for him, but that's mostly because I said I wouldn't yesterday, and I don't want to overreact.
Stick it to your guns.
He is the same player he was yesterday.
Yeah.
He's still really good.
Sure. Okay, let's fly through the rest of this here. Fringy starting pitchers. A bunch of them started yesterday. I will read some names, and I will say if they were good or bad or in between. And then you guys tell me who you want. Alfredo Simon, Big Pasta, bad. Ubaldo Jimenez, bad. CJ Wilson, good. Chris Heston, terrible. Alex Colomé, not bad. Mike Foltynewicz, not so good. He was good until the sixth. Mike Leake, really good. Only 2 strikeouts, though. Danny Duffy, worst start ever. Colby Lewis, very good. And Kyle Gibson, good, but he's got more walks than strikeouts this year, despite a 2.97 ERA. He just doesn't strike anyone out. So on that list, how about your top three?
My favorite is still Chris Heston, even though it was his second start in three with 11 hits. It was his first bad start that wasn't at Coors Field. So he deserves credit for that. Number two, I think I'm going Mike Leake here. I think he's a guy who's, we're always so focused on the ratios, and his ratios aren't great, but he pitched 214 and a third innings last year. It put him as, it made him a top 40 strikeout pitcher, ratios aside. And he's eating innings again this year. I think there's something to be said for that. And then my third favorite, I'm going to go with Jimenez just because I think there's a...
Scott, he's so falling for it.
I'm not falling for it. He was bad last time out.
He's a mess. His mechanics are all over the place.
As usual.
When he looks good, he looks fine, but it's never consistent. I'm not buying it.
He was bad yesterday.
Yeah, but he still got an ERA under 3.
80% owned.
Way under 3.
I'm not touching that. Okay, I wouldn't own him in a 12-team mixed league.
I don't want to be, because that's how the way the season's gone. It's been on and off and on and off, and I don't want to drop him every time he's off and pick him up every time he's on.
That's why I'm just not going to own him.
I don't feel like someone like Alex Colomé, it's too encouraging to start,
rather
but
let's
see him throw 80 pitches.
Rather take a flyer on Foltynewicz than have Ubaldo Jimenez. And that's my thing with these fringy kind of guys.
But Foltynewicz is 22% owned. He'll still be out there later. He hasn't done anything to convince the 78% of owner leagues where he's unowned to pick him up. So wait out Jimenez.
If you drop Ubaldo Jimenez, what's the downside? Like, realistically speaking,
over
the last 6 years
ago.
Yeah, he had one good year in the last six.
It was very recent, though.
Sure, and he was a disaster last year, more recently than the one 2 years ago. We're talking
about
when it
year
comes
he's,
to these
he's
kind
been
of
more good than not.
When it comes to these kind of fringy guys, these guys that I feel no confidence in starting at all, I'd rather take a flyer on the devil I don't know than the devil I do.
I feel like we're making the same argument for the same player, though. We're talking about taking a chance on upside.
I don't think it is. I think he's bad.
I think you guys are missing somebody, by the way. Well, I don't know Chris's top three, but Danny Duffy, I know he's off to a bad start, but let's not forget, you want to talk about being good recently. Well, Danny Duffy was really good last year. He had a 1.11 whip. I know he didn't strike out a ton, but 2.53 ERA. If he gets things together, to me, like, it's not even close. He's better than Jimenez, and I'd take him over Foltynewicz. Yeah, I'd take him over most of the guys on this list, if not all, and maybe Heston I'd have over him, but I where's the love for Duffy?
Like I said, with these guys, I'm looking for upside. I think Jimenez is at an age and a skill level where the upside's not there. I want to say I looked into him after his start against the Orioles or against the Tigers last week, and he was throwing fewer pitches in the strike zone than ever, but his walk rate is down because batters basically just weren't swinging at all. They're just not, they weren't taking any chances on his swings, on his pitches. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I remember from.
He's also throwing much softer, and he's like 91 now.
Yeah, but I came away with a different impression from his strike percentage. He was getting ahead of the count much more, a lot more.
But I think it was a lot of called strikes. Yeah. And that was just batters not swinging at his pitches in the zone. And if we're looking at a guy who doesn't have great stuff anymore, and I think it's fair to say that Ubaldo Jimenez doesn't have great stuff anymore. If they're just looking at strikes, eventually they're going to start swinging at these pitches.
Okay, but I don't know that. I think it's premature to say he doesn't have great stuff anymore. He wouldn't be getting those high strikeout games he had earlier if he did.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, is that a lot of the high strikeout rate wasn't because he was fooling guys into swinging and missing, which is generally the marker of good stuff. A lot of it was just guys weren't swinging at anything. They weren't swinging at pitches out of the zone or pitches in the zone. Batters were just keeping the bat on their shoulder because they don't trust Ubaldo Jimenez to throw strikes.
That's kind of making some assumptions here about batters' mindset.
Well, sure, but it's making an assumption based on what they're doing.
All right, well, okay.
I
understand you guys differ on that. Scott, I get your argument about Jimenez 80%, Foltynewicz 22%, but who do you think will be better rest of season?
I don't think either will be mixed league viable in the end.
Okay.
But I don't think there's enough starting pitchers who I can say for sure will be that you need to drop Jimenez yet.
And why not take a shot on Colome? Obviously, it seems like they're sort of easing him back in, but he is 32% owned, and I'm starting to see him get picked up in my league, so I feel like that ownership is going to rise. He's probably a two-star pitcher next week. You know, it might be too late by the next time he goes out there. He's given up 2 runs in 10 innings so far against, you know, good lineups.
Yeah, I would rather, if both him and Jimenez were available in a league, I would rather take a chance on a Colome or a Foltynewicz.
Foltynewicz. Yeah. We'll get it. Injuries, news, and notes. Justin Verlander has been cleared to throw. He has a tricep strain. He's trying to come back from that. Coco Crisp's off the DL. He led off yesterday. Billy Burns played center field. He's going to continue to do that, and he batted second for the A's. I mean, they had a terrible game, but Burns still in the lineup.
Did you see who got sent down?
Yeah, Craig Gentry, right?
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, we were trying to figure it out yesterday. It seemed like Burns would have to be the one, but apparently not.
As long as they don't put Sam Fold back in the leadoff spot. That was not working.
I think Burns batting second, like how could you not own him in a 5 outfielder or 12 team league?
I wrote exactly that last night. As long as he's getting playing time, he's going to get on base and steal bases.
Alex Rios could be back in 2 weeks. Josh Hamilton expected to begin a rehab assignment next week. Joey Votto bumped an umpire. That's a no-no. So he might get suspended. Yasiel Puig is going to begin a rehab assignment today. But last I checked, he had not been cleared to run. He was going to DH. Chase Utley getting a mental break right now. Brett Gardner, day-to-day with a sore neck. Zach Cozart was out with a wrist injury, still day-to-day. Corey Dickerson, he sat the second game of the doubleheader. His plantar fasciitis flared up. We'll see if he's in the lineup today. They play today? I'm not sure if they play today. Well, we'll see if he's in the lineup next time they play. Jeff Samardzija dropped his appeal. He's serving a 5-game suspension, and Carlos Rodon is going to start Saturday against the Reds. Rodon said he's feeling more comfortable on the mound. First time he went out there, maybe a little intimidated, but he's settling in.
Rockies do not play today.
Okay. Leonis Martin out again with a wrist injury. Jaime Garcia and Marco Gonzalez both going to begin rehab assignments, or both began them. Jason Wirth missed his second straight game with shoulder soreness. Michael Taylor might want to look into him. He's been starting.
That's Wirth's surgically repaired shoulder.
Yep.
I'll add.
Yeah. So who do you think's a better guy to take a shot on, Burns or Taylor?
I think Taylor's the better player, but Burns probably has more... more of an assured role. So, probably Burns.
I don't Taylor in a Roto League, but with the understanding he may be stashed on my bench.
Austin Hedges started a catcher for the Padres at the Giants. He went 1-for-4 with 2 RBI, 2 strikeouts. And how about Manny Machado? Stole 2 bases last night. That gives him 5 in 5 attempts. He entered the season with 10 steals and 17 attempts. So he's having a nice year. That's a slow start.
You know who else stole his 5th base in 5 attempts?
Paul Goldschmidt?
Yesterday? No, it was his former teammate, Justin Upton. Mm. And I think that's notable because he was a consistent 18 to 20 steal guy in his years with the Diamondbacks and then went to the Braves and didn't even get double digits either of the 2 years with them. So now it looks like the Padres are taking more taking advantage of his speed in the way the Braves didn't, which could make him even more valuable.
Shouts to Manny Machado for doubling his walk rate so far this season, by the way.
Oh, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's great.
So I know nerds like The Simpsons. I know, I think both of, I know Scott loves The Simpsons. Chris, how are you feeling about, like, 90s Simpsons?
My, two of my fantasy team names are Don't Blame Me, I Voted for Votto.
Right.
I think as long as The Simpsons has gone on, Adam, I can safely say that the majority of The Simpsons I do not like.
But
there was a stretch
at this point
I very much liked it.
The Simpsons are 29
I don't know.
Years old?
No, no. Like 25.
26
years old? Maybe. yeah, no, it's not good. It hasn't been good for a while. But 90s Simpsons is as good as it gets.
Yeah,
sure.
So with that said, my podcast has a first name. It's H-O-M-E-R. Some noteworthy home runs yesterday. Well, Harper hit 3 of them. Russell Martin homered again. 3 home runs in his last 4 games. And he's just having a great year. And he's the number 2 catcher in fantasy, but now it's like really close to Steven Vogt. And I don't know what to make of it, guys. What do you think of Russell Martin?
He's off to a real slow start, too.
Yeah. You know, he's 32 years old and I don't generally believe players become different at that age.
But they do in Toronto.
They do in Toronto.
I mean, it's a pretty consistent trend that guys hit more home runs when they land in Toronto, right?
He's also hitting a much better batting average, though.
Yeah, I mean, he played in Pittsburgh, obviously, the last couple years, but then the Yankees before that. I don't know that the park effect could have this extreme of a result on him. I mean, it's not Coors Field, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think he was undervalued coming into the season. I think, he made some more subtle improvements with the Pirates last season that made him back to being a top 12, top 10 type catcher in fantasy, particularly in leagues where walks count. So, I mean, if you have him as your starter, I don't think you should think of it as just a short-term thing. He'll probably be your starter all season, but you shouldn't count on him being a 30-plus homer guy either.
All right, rest of the season, Russell Martin or Brian McCann?
Martin. I moved him ahead of McCann. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Russell Martin or Salvador Perez?
Salvador Perez.
Perez.
Russell Martin.
That other Salvador.
Or Devin Mesoraco.
We don't know when Devin Mesoraco is going to play. So I have to say Martin.
Would you be bold enough to offer Martin right now for Mesoraco?
I'm in a league where you can only play one catcher. I have Vogt and Martin. I might try to trade one of them.
Oh, that's a
good
idea.
Not sure which one, though.
That's a good idea. Mm.
I do have Vogt ahead of Martin, and I do still have Mesoraco ahead of both. But... I would not blame anybody for dumping Mesoraco for either of those two if they had a chance.
Yeah,
right now.
It's a hip. He's a catcher. They don't have room for him to play at first base. It's a weird situation.
Evan Longoria, 2-for-3 with 2 home runs. All of a sudden, he's batting .284 with 3 homers, and he's the number 10 shortstop in points, but he's the number 19.
Well, third baseman.
Yeah, he's the third baseman. He's a number 10 third baseman in points.
Better shortstop.
Number 19 in Roto. You know, he's got 9 doubles. He's got 18 walks, which is very good.
Well, that's what I had noticed with Longoria is last year, I mean, it was a bad year for him overall, but the walk rate, he stopped being even a pretty good walk guy. This year he's on pace for 108 walks, I think it is. So it's just a question of how much power does he still have. He's at an age, late 20s, where I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt as far as the power goes, particularly since he's doing other things.
You know, the biggest thing with him is his isolated slugging percentage is actually higher than last season. He just had, he has a lot of doubles, not home runs. He only has 8 RBI. The Rays lineup isn't great right now. They're not getting much out of the leadoff spot, but I think that's something that will turn around. I think he'll start to climb up those Roto ranks.
See, I just don't really want him, especially in Roto, and here's why.
Okay.
So he had the 2 home runs yesterday. His slash line before yesterday was 272, 382, and a 402 slugging percentage, and last year it was 404. So we're having probably a different discussion if we're talking about Longoria yesterday before the 2 homer game. And it really is the lineup for me. I just feel like maybe in a points league he'll walk enough to be good top 10. But in a Roto league, they're not going to pitch to him. That team is terrible beside him.
They don't have guys that can get on base in front of him. I wrote about them yesterday in the leadoff spot post, and I think Desmond Jennings might be their best option at leadoff, and he's not really a high on base percentage guy. They really just don't have a lot of guys who can get on base, which is weird given that team's organizational philosophy.
They have terrible hitters.
I get what you're saying about, like, I don't feel like Longoria is the super high in third baseman anymore, in part because there's so many others now. I feel like Todd Frazier has definitively leapfrogged him this year. And I feel like Matt Carpenter, who we were just talking about in that trade, is back to being more valuable than Longoria in fantasy, even if Longoria hits twice as many home runs as Carpenter does.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Other homers. Jock Peterson, last 7 hits have all been homers.
So good.
Victor Martinez, we talked about. Melky Cabrera, 93% owned. He had his first home run. Do you guys think better things? You know, obviously, better things are to come. He's been pretty bad. But do you think good things are to come for Melky Cabrera?
We're still at a stage of the season where unless there's something really radical going on with the players underlying whatever, I'm going to assume he'll get back to being who he's been.
Mm-hmm.
But in Cabrera's case, there's been a lot of ups and downs along the way. The most discouraging thing for me, 1 home run, 2 doubles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's down for me, but not like on the verge of being dropped for me.
How about Andrelton Simmons, guys? He is really playing well. He's the number 2 shortstop in fantasy and points leagues and number 5 in rotisserie leagues. He homered and he doubled. He scored 3 runs. I love that he's hitting second. He's got the most runs scored. Simmons has the most runs scored among shortstops. 75% owned. Sell high on Simmons? I don't know that you can get so much, but what do you think?
No, this might be your opportunity to have a plus shortstop, and those are few and far between. He is on pace for 70 extra base hits right now, which not many hitters achieve over a full season. He's also on pace for 29 strikeouts. And the contact, he is always a guy who made a lot of contact, but I feel like, and this was something Heath and I talked about before the season, Kevin Seitzer, the Braves' new hitting coach, is one of the better hitting coaches in baseball, one of the few who I think can make an honest-to-goodness difference, and he stresses this up-the-middle approach. Don't try to do too much, and you'll get the most you can get. Simmons, I feel like, because he surprised with 17 home runs as a rookie, became that guy who tried to do too much, and it made for this incongruous batting average relative to his contact rate. And now we're seeing this is the kind of player he could have been and can still be as someone who makes that kind of contact.
All right. Would you rather have Simmons or Peralta rest of season?
Simmons.
Sure.
Simmons or Danny Santana?
Simmons.
Yep.
Santana's been a disaster.
Okay, then I'm going to speed things up so we can grade some trades, as we didn't get a chance to do that yesterday. But Shinsu Chu homered again. He's 52% owned. Keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
And Lance Lynn, Scott Kazmir, and Garrett Cole were all bad yesterday, and I was surprised by all 3 of them. Do you guys have anything to say that's insightful or helpful about those 3 guys?
No.
I'm not worried about 2 of them.
Who are you worried about?
No, I'm not worried about any of them, but Lance Lynn's not on the on the same level as Cole. And Cole was probably pitching a little over his head, so he was due for some regression.
Lynn had a unlucky first inning. I think he gave up two runs. And then no excuse after that, but very unlucky first inning.
No excuses, Lance Lynn.
Okay, great. The trade. Is Heath there, by the way?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. He's slacking.
I can see him.
He'll be in. Great. The trade from Peretz. We got giving up Jacob deGrom and Ryan Zimmerman for Corey Kluber.
That's a lot. But I think I like it.
Justified.
I think
B plus. B.
From Kathleen. Oh, did you give a grade, Chris Towers?
Yeah, B.
Okay. Yeah, I was just talking over him.
Yeah, that's fine. It was funny. From Kathleen, give Doug Fister and Chris Davis of the Orioles get Corey Kluber.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, A.
A minus.
So I guess you guys like DeGrom and Ryan Zimmerman better than Fister and Davis, huh?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Who do you like better, Chris Davis or Ryan Zimmerman?
Yeah, for me, that the difference is more about DeGrom and Fister.
Yeah, I know. It is.
But just saying.
I do think Zimmerman jumps ahead of Davis in points leagues for me, but it's, you know,
speaking of the devil.
And, yeah, oh, Heath's here?
Yep.
Good. From Steve, Gray the Trade. Dear Vizini, Fezzik, and Inigo Montoya. I hope I'm pronouncing those right. I know those are Princess Bride, but I haven't seen it in forever. Standard 10-team head-to-head points league, 3 outfielders. Give up McCutcheon. Get Chris Sale.
Ooh.
I still have Justin Upton, JD Martinez, and Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts.
And Hunter Pence. And Denard Span.
Yeah, I think that's a B.
So you would do that. You would give up McCutcheon for Sale.
Yes.
You're giving up McCutcheon for Sale, but you're not doing it for Harper yet. That's interesting. I give it a C minus.
You think Harper's better than Sale? Sale was considered a borderline first round pick.
Yeah, I'm kind of with
McCutcheon
Towers.
Was considered like a borderline number two overall.
Sure, but now we're just talking Sale versus Harper here.
Yeah.
Don't you bring Andrew McCutcheon into this.
I think if we're really buying into that this is Harper's breakout season, then he's more valuable than Chris Sale, yeah. Yeah.
In a 3 outfielder league?
Yeah.
Okay.
He would be borderline first round himself coming into the year if this was the expectation for him.
I think if you have Justin Upton, JD Martinez, Mookie Betts, Hunter Pence, and Denard Span, and he has Jake Mariznick as well. Span is very good in this format. I think it's a justifiable trade depending on your need.
Sure.
Go up McCutcheon for Sale.
It's justifiable, but in a vacuum, I say C minus.
All right, Mike in Denver. 5x5, 3 outfielder league. Give up Will Myers, get Fernando Rodney.
That
I feel so
is
that
hard
trade.
To judge because closers, just the state of being a closer can drastically change your value in different formats depending on how scarce those are in your particular format.
Now, the one thing he does say is he has a logjam in the outfield with Gomez, Polanco, Mariznick, and Peterson. I'm not buying Mariznick as a
logjam
type of guy yet.
Oh, Heath's here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Heath is. We told you that.
Yeah, well, he's talking.
I thought you were just ignoring me.
I think it's a C.
I'll go C too.
The value of closers is so subjective.
3 more trades real quick from Dude Diligence. 5x5 keeper league. Give Lester, Robertson, and Carlos Martinez. Lester, Robertson, and Carlos Martinez. Get Puig and Cishek.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't love it.
D minus.
D.
I'll go D plus.
From Joe. Give up Big Pasta, Alfredo Simon. Give up Alfredo Simon for Chris Young and Tyler Matzik.
Which Chris Young? I'm probably the hitter.
Yeah, the hitter.
No, there's not a lot of upside to that deal. Not that Simon's great, but
I think it's a C. I think you're giving up pretty meh pieces to get him, or a meh piece to get 2 meh pieces.
I really thought this must be AL only until you said Tyler Matzik.
Yeah.
I think Young and Matzik are below meh, so I'll go D.
And Jomo, give up Sonny Gray and Carlos Gonzalez in a points league, 12 teams. Give up Gray and Cargo for Kluber and Adam Eaton. I don't. Yeah, you know, I might
like
it. That's
I like
so
it.
Interesting.
B plus.
B.
B minus.
So the theme is it's a good time to buy low on Corey Kluber.
I love the idea of buying low on Corey Kluber.
Yeah.
That's the only part of that trade I like.
Hey, Heath.
Yeah.
Kind of hard if you're playing the night shift. Kind of hard to avoid Chris Archer today.
Really kind of hard to play the night shift.
It is hard.
Now, you know what's really hard is writing and talking about the night shift all day long. Because you are very, very quickly going to run out of things to write and talk about.
It's tough. Yes.
I put all the numbers into my handy dandy pitcher spreadsheet this morning, and it spit out two names. One of them at the top, Chris Archer, and then not too far behind Colin McHugh. Because the Angels have been surprisingly bad against right-handed pitching this year. So that kind of helps. But yeah, I think Archer has a bullet next to his name.
Wow. He is the most expensive pitcher, but he's not super expensive.
Nobody's over 9,000.
There's no other pitcher I could justify starting over either of those two.
No. I think if you were, like, I do want to ask one thing. Take a look at it. If you were going to go with a contrarian tournament play,
which I wouldn't want to do, but if you're saying I have to, gun to head, you have to set a contrarian lineup or you die.
Gun to your head in the next couple hours, you're going to have to pick your top four pitchers.
What horrible supervillain would do that?
You're going to have to pick four pitchers from this slate.
Oh, so that's right. They make four for that show.
Go ahead and pick a third now.
No, that is not on yet. That maybe.
AJ Burnett. AJ Burnett's an obvious one to me.
What did you say? AJ Burnett?
AJ Burnett, absolutely.
Yeah.
AJ Burnett is my third pitcher. He's not my favorite. If I was just going to go, I'm going to get crazy. Here's my wild card tournament play.
Odrisimer Despaigne.
No.
Oh.
He strikes out like Nick Martinez.
Two batters per nine.
Tampa?
No, you can't do Nick Martinez. He didn't strike anybody out either.
Strikeouts, sure.
I know you don't like Chris Tillman, but he would probably be my pick. Oh, you always pick a guy going against the Astros, so I know you're going to say Hector Santiago.
Hector Santiago, for some reason, is striking out 8.5 batters per nine this year. The Astros are striking out 24% of the time against left-handed pitching.
What about Rubby?
And I keep saying, I mean, we talked for 2 days about how you have to stack Astros against left-handed pitching, and now if you look at the Astros against left-handed pitching numbers, of course they don't look very good.
Yeah.
Because they just, and I think Hector Santiago is the best left-handed pitcher they've seen this week.
Or maybe tonight's the night they turn it around.
Oh yes.
I guess you understand that when you go with the contrarian play. I just feel like there's very little downside to Despaigne.
I don't know, downside. Scott. He's not good on the road, and he doesn't strike guys out, really. I don't think he's
right.
Yeah, Despaigne, and he's at Arizona.
You know, if I'm starting a really cheap pitcher who I can trust is going to give me 5 to 10 points.
The Diamondbacks are coming off that Rocky Mountain high.
Okay.
I just wanted to say
good
that.
Good point. Heath, there's only one hitter that I really like as a good value today, and it's Brandon Belt. He's 2,900, and he's...
Yeah, that's the problem with putting a lineup together. We've got one pitcher and one hitter that we like, and that's basically it for the day.
Yeah, I mean, he's 1-for-6 with a home run against Dan Haren, but he's good against righties, and he's heating up a little bit. He almost homered yesterday.
It's just tough. Brandon Belt is not the guy I'm going with at all.
Well, I am, because I need to save money in other places.
My favorite... I can almost really tell you my lineup.
I can tell you mine too, but mine's terrible.
At this point in the day, I never can do that at this point in the day, but there's so little to choose from. I mean, I keep going back and looking at it thinking maybe I'll find something better. I don't know if I can even fiddle with it because it's just the options are terrible. They're trash. It's awful.
Don't fiddle.
I love Chris Davis.
Woo!
Love him against Eovaldi that's given up a .400 batting average to left-handed hitters this year.
Eovaldi.
As opposed to Eovaldi?
Yes, as opposed to Eovaldi.
Okay. I don't really care to pronounce his name correctly. What I do care to do is put left-handed hitters against him. My favorite bargain of the day today is whatever left-handed outfielder Buck Showalter decides to start.
Alejandro Diaza, maybe?
Yeah. Could be Diaza.
He's dirt cheap.
I mean, it could be David Lowe. All of those guys, the funny thing is I was looking at the three options, the most expensive left-handed outfielder for the Orioles right now is David Lowe at $2,300.
Oof.
Yeah.
Any of those guys can help you save some money.
Yeah, I like Diaz if he plays.
Well, how do you account for the Travis Snyder reverse platoon splits, because he was like a 380 hitter against lefties last year and a 240 hitter against righties, but he bats left-handed and he's going against a right-hander who struggles against lefties. Like, yeah, what does it all mean?
That's I don't know.
He is a weird player.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope that either David Lowe or Daza starts
instead,
so I can choose one of them.
All right, any other players to target?
I like my favorite stack of the day is probably going to be the Yankees against Chris Tillman.
I'd beware of that.
Beware of the Yankees against Chris Tillman. I understand.
I just kind of feel like they're due to slump.
Well,
they didn't hit
yesterday.
Well in Toronto. Yeah, they didn't hit well in Toronto. They did for one game.
They're not really due to slump because they are slumping.
So maybe they're due to.
They're in the process of slumping. They won 13 out of 16 games, and you just had to figure things were going to change, and now they've lost 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
I get it, though. I mean, it's hard to choose. So I wasn't trying to crap on your choice.
I mean, if you were going to choose a stack, and my second favorite would be going with the Orioles against Eovaldi.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Except it's Eovaldi.
Okay.
No, it's Nate Eovaldi.
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 I think that's a good choice.
It's like the.
I think I'm going to say his name different every time I say it today.
I think so.
What do you think about Alex Rodriguez, Heath? He's 5-for-10 with 3 home runs off Chris Tillman.
That's the other thing is the batter versus pitcher splits just when I was kind of starting to get into it. Not that I was starting to buy into it, but I was getting into it. Like I was enjoying it. And today they're just junk. There's like 6 hitters that have 10 at bats and a good history against the pitcher they're facing. And one of them happens to be A-Rod, who I think I'm doing this from memory. I didn't even bring my computer in because I hate this slate so much and there wasn't enough to I could just remember it all. A-Rod, I believe, is 5-for-10 with 3 home runs against Chris Tillman. Is that correct?
Yes, I just said that, yeah.
How'd you know?
If you can tell, I'm not listening.
I can tell, yeah. Now I can tell.
But that doesn't really matter. Joey Votto's really good against AJ Burnett, but I don't know if he's going to play or pretend he's the Incredible Hulk again.
Yeah.
And he's so expensive. He's not that expensive. Goldschmidt is super expensive.
You were supposed to make the joke there that was him making his demand to be traded to the Royals. Because he was acting like a royal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it wasn't. It wasn't that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I wasn't listening.
I understand.
And final thoughts, Heath.
On just anything in particular?
Yeah,
how
sure.
Much I don't like this slate or daily fantasy baseball?
Anything in particular. Anything. Did you go to the Mexican place I recommended for you?
Nope.
Well, thank you.
No, I didn't even really consider it.
Because you recommended it, Adam.
No, I went to a different establishment that has this rewards card, and I'd earned some free points, so I went there and had some mahi tacos.
Okay, and this establishment, just to be clear, this is not a restaurant by trade, right? It's a building that has a restaurant in it.
Well, I think it is technically a restaurant.
Okay, but the main reason why people go to this place where there is the rewards card is not for the food, right?
Well, they have really good wings.
I think I know where you went.
They have a lot of TVs.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Heath, thank you very much. I don't want to make it sound like you went to a strip club, by the way. That's not where Heath went.
That's one place I did not go, so. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Heath, Chris, Scott, see you guys tomorrow, or whoever the hell's on the show tomorrow. I don't even know.
Ish.
Somebody will.
I don't know anymore either.
It's just Adam Azer, Mar.
Ish.
Tune in.
Great. Well, everybody look forward to that. I'm Adam Azer for the 3 of them. See you later.